Okay. Of course, last night we began saying Slichas. We discussed Slichas a little bit last week. But why is it that we start saying Slichas on the Sunday prior to Rosh Hashanah, or a Sunday prior to Rosh Hashanah? So the Ran discusses this in his comments on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, but he really asks a bigger question, which is, how is it that, how did Chazal know that all of humanity, all of creation, is really judged on Rosh Hashanah? As the Mishnah tells us, Rosh Hashanah Kol Bari Olam Oivam Mufanav Kibnei Marom, how did Chazal know that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin? In Chumash, Tarsh B'Sav, we don't really have any indication that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. It's Yom HaZikaron, the day that you have to blow to Kiyah Shofar. But no mention is made in the Chumash that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. So that's the question the Ram begins with. Yesh Lisho, Lama Adam Nidim, Rosh Hashanah, Yosem B'Shar Yomim, how did Chazal know that people or of humanity is judged on to a certain degree on Rosh Hashanah? So he says the other judgments that are mentioned by the Mishnayos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Shar Dvarim Dahanu Tfuo Perasei Ilan Umayim and Sukkos when he done Malamayim and other times Shavuos Perasei Ilan. So all of these things fit with the agricultural cycle of the year. But why is it that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin for humanity, it doesn't seem to fit within the astronomical or the agricultural cycle of the year? So he explains, based on a psikta. The psikta tells us that at least within the opinion of Elazar, the Petishrei Nivra Olam, throughout Shas's big machlokes in Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, was the world created during Tishrei, was the world created during Chodesh Nisan. So according within the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that the world was created during Chodesh Tishrei, it was actually, Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh Tishrei, the beginning of the month. But the creation process actually began a few days earlier. So Adam HaRishon was created, let's say, on the sixth day, right, of creation. Creation began 5 days earlier, which is really Chaf Hei Elul. Chaf Hei Elul was the day that the creation process began on a Sunday. So really, the creation process began earlier, and Adam HaRishon was created on that Friday, which was Aleph Tishrei. What happened on that day that Adam HaRishon was created? He sinned, right? He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He was judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ultimately forgiven. So on that very day that Adam HaRishon was created, he was judged by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that was the first time that humanity was judged. And because of that, it was established for all generations that the Yom HaDin would be on Rosh Hashanah, because that was when Adam HaRishon first sinned and when he was judged. So the Yom HaDin was established as the first day of Tishrei, because that's when Adam HaRishon sinned and that's when he was judged, and that exists for eternity. And the Ran explains that, yeah, but if Adam HaRishon sinned and was judged and was created all on Aleph Tishrei, the creation process began earlier, so then it makes sense to start saying Slichos earlier, the day that the creation process began, which is on Chaf Hei Elul. The problem is that was also a Sunday, and if we'll just go with the calendaric date of Chaf Hei Elul, we really have a Yom Kavua. We won't have a set day with which we start Slicha. So if we can't get the calendaric day, because it's going to fluctuate based on the calendar of that year, at least we should get the day of the week which the creation process began, which is on a Sunday. So we usually start the Sunday, the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah, which is when, roughly corresponding to when the creation process began. That's the way the Ran explains the Minhag Ashkenaz, to begin saying Slichos on the Sunday prior to Rosh Hashanah. However, of course, the practice of the Sfaradim, is quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Tav Kuf Pei Afsuf Aleph, is they begin saying Slichos already Rosh Chodesh Elul. Why do they start saying Slichos Rosh Chodesh Elul? Because the Ran asks, this all works according to Rabbi Elazar. What about according to Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua's opinion was, they're not Petishrei Nivra Olam, they're Benisa Nivra Olam. Well, if Benisa Nivra Olam, so then why is the Yom HaDin in Chodesh Tishrei? Doesn't make any sense. Adam HaRishon was created in Chodesh Nisan. Why is the Yom HaDin in Chodesh Tishrei? So Ran explains that it's because, even though Adam HaRishon was created in Chodesh Nisan, and that's when he was judged for the first time, Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to Har Sinai and Rosh Chodesh Elul to receive the second set of Uchos. He came down on Yom Kippur with that second set of Uchos, and that's when he was forgiven for the Chet HaRegel. So it's a season of forgiveness beginning with Rosh Chodesh Elul and concluding, culminating on Yom Kippur, when Moshe Rabbeinu was forgiven for the Chet HaRegel and received the second set of Uchos. So therefore, says the Ran, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the reason why the period of judgment or Yom HaDin is specifically during this period of the year was a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for us to allow us to be judged during the time of forgiveness, during the season of forgiveness. That was the first time, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Kali Sof the Chet HaRegel. Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul descended on Yom Kippur. It's an auspicious time for forgiveness, so that's when the Yom HaDin was established in order to help us in our favor that we should seek or be judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically during the time period of forgiveness. So that's why it concludes on Yom Kippur. The judgment is really sealed on Yom Kippur. That's when ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael. But the Ran explains that forgiveness process probably started a few days earlier on Rosh Hashanah, and that's therefore culminates in Yom Kippur, and this is the period that we're judged. So one second. So just based on this, the Bir Agra explains that's the practice of the Sfaradim. They start saying Slichus not the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah, because the world wasn't created in Chodesh Tishrei. The reason why the period of judgment is now is because it's a season of forgiveness. When did that season of forgiveness begin? Rosh Chodesh Elul, when Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai to receive the second set of Luchos. So therefore the Gaon explains that's why the Sfaradim start saying Slichus already Rosh Chodesh Elul, because the season of forgiveness begins in Rosh Chodesh Elul. Yeah?
So why then is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei or Rosh Hashanah?
So the Ran explains, he says, because even though the forgiveness was really issued or completed on Yom Kippur, it must be that Kadosh Baruch Hu started forgiving them a little bit before. He says, if you want to read it inside, six lines from the bottom, how do we know that Rosh Hashanah is the time of Din? Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mezakeh Klal Yisrael, therefore he made the period of judgment during the season of forgiveness. So the judgment begins in Rosh Hashanah, it's sealed on Yom Kippur, which was when the forgiveness for Klal Yisrael was sealed. And even though it was all on Yom Kippur, must be a Kadosh Baruch Hu started to forgive Klal Yisrael a few days earlier on Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim Nisratzu Legamrei. And it was completed on Yom Kippur. Yeah, but it's a little, Rosh Hashanah isn't necessarily a critical day in the sequence or the time, the timeline of events, necessarily according to this fine. But now we understand this Sfaradish practice to start saying Slichas already in Rosh Chodesh Elul. The problem is, Ashkenazim, right? When did we start saying Slichas? Corresponding to the first day of creation. So I understand Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. That's when Adam HaRishon sinned. That's when he was judged. That's when he was forgiven. So that's when we're all judged. We're all, and hopefully forgiven by the Ribbono Shel Olam. But what does the beginning of creation have to do with anything? Why is that the time to begin saying Slichus? Nothing happened then, at least as far as Adam HaRishon is concerned. So if I remember, why does Slichus correspond to the beginning of saying Slichus, correspond to the beginning of the creation process? What does the beginning of the creation process have to do with any of this? Yeah, you hear? What does creation, Adam HaRishon sinning and being forgiven, I get that. That's Rosh Hashanah, that's the Yom HaDin. What does creation have to do with the saying of Slichus? Question number one. Question number two, entirely different angle on things. The Yom HaNerayim seem to come on the heels of, or right after, the Bein HaMetzarim. Right? There's a Tosfos in Maseches Megillah cites the name of the Psikta, that there's a whole series of Haftaras that are all connected to each other. There's the three Haftaras prior to Tisha B'Av, known as the Shalosh Tepur Naisa, the three Haftaras that discuss the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Then, following Tisha B'Av, we have the Shev D'Nechemta, the seven haftiras that have to do with the nechama of a churban beis hamikdash, and that's followed by two haftiras of tshuva. Where do we have the two haftiras of tshuva? One on Shabbos Shuva and one on Tzayim Gedalia. One on Tzayim Gedalia, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzai. So there's a series of 10 or 12 haftiras that are all connected. The shalosh, the purnais, the shev, the nechemta, and the two of tshuva. This is quoted over here in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Tav Chav Ches, Sif Ches, Mishivas Betams Ve'elach Mavtilin Gimel, the purnais, the shev, the nechemta, tarati, the two having to do with tshuva. So it seems, right, that the Yom HaNerayim are connected to the Bein HaMetzarim. What does the Yom HaNerayim have to do with Korban Beis HaMikdash? You say, they have to be connected, by the way, because we have this whole series of Haftarahs. It seems to be one progression. It seems to fall on the heels of Yom HaNerayim. But this is confirmed, by the way, by the Tainus that we have in the middle of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the day right after Rosh Hashanah, of Tzoyim Gedalia. What is the Tainus of Tzoyim Gedalia all about? So after Churban Beis HaMikdash, Churban Beis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar left a remaining, a skeleton crew of Jews in Yerushalayim, and the leader of that group was Gedalia ben Achikam. But then he lost his patience with Gedalia ben Achikam and ultimately killed Gedalia ben Achikam. He was executed either on Rosh Hashanah itself or on the third day of Tishrei, whatever the case may be. We fast over the death of Gedalia ben Achikam on the day right after Rosh Hashanah in order to teach us the Shkuah Misasun Sol Tzadikim Kisrefas Beis HaLekeinu. The death of Tzadikim is like the destruction of the Beis, or the equivalent of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Yeah, but there are many Tzadikim, unfortunately, who have been executed. Why do we have a Tainus Dafka for Gedalia ben Achikam? Why dafka for Gedaliah ben Achikam? And why is the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam kisreifas beis alekenu, is the equivalent of the destruction of the beis hamikdash? So Rambam explains in Hilchos Taniyos that it's because the korban beis hamikdash wasn't complete until Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, because there was still one ember, there was still one coal that was still burning. The skeleton crew that was still in Yerushalayim, that maybe there was some hope that they could rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with this skeleton crew, with this leader that they had. And then, when Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, that dream ended. So Rambam writes over here that this was V'nich Beis Gachelas Yisrael HaNishara V'sibe V'heisam Galusam. And that sealed the Galus. Okay, so Churban Beis HaMikdash is sealed during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So clearly, the Yom Le'Rama coming, somehow connected to the period of the Bein HaMetzam. Kajut Zumagid writes over here in the Sefer Avodas Yisrael, fantastic little gematria, you probably have heard it before, that there are 22 days of the Bein HaMetzam, from Shavuos B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. That corresponds to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, because the Luchos were broken in Shavuos B'Tammuz, and the letters of the Luchos began to fly away from the tablets before they were broken. And the 22 letters, of course, correspond to the entirety of Torah and Mitzvahs. That's why many of the kinos are al seder, the aleph base. So we have 22 days of Bein HaMetzam corresponding to 22 letters in the aleph base to represent the fact that the luchos were destroyed and we violated everything that the Torah stands for from aleph to tav. And that's why it corresponds to the 22 letters of the aleph base. However, many sfarim are like that. However, the Avodas Yisrael says that the 22 days of the Bein HaMetzam correspond to the 22 days of the Yom Ne'irah from Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres, 22 days. Because, the fasting or the mourning during the Bein HaMetzarim sets the tone, sets the stage for the Yom Ne'irah. Here's a riot to this, if you're interested. This is cute. Listen to this. He says, how many days are there from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah? 50. Gematria Nun. Nun. How many days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur? 10. Gematria, right? Yud. It corresponds to Yud. How many days from Yom Kippur to Sukkot? 4. Dawud. So we have Nun, Yud, Dawud. And first day of Sukkot is known as the first day. That's Aleph. So you have Nun, Yud, Daud, Aleph. If you rearrange those letters, it spells the shame Adnus. So he says somehow there's some connection between the period of the Bein HaMetzarim, the Yom Ne'irah, that crowns the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, as our master. So they're obviously connected. What's the connection between the Yom Ne'irah and the Bein HaMetzarim? What does one have to do with the other? So question number one, why do we begin saying Slichus on the day that the world was created? I understand Rosh Hashanah is the day that Amar Rishon sinned and he was judged and forgiven. Why do we start saying Slichus on the day the world was created? And what do the Yom Ne'irah have to do with the Bein HaMetzarim? And by the way, Slichus itself seems to be connected to Churban Beis HaMikdash. How so? Because we discussed last week the comment of the Lugavush, that Slichus is structured as a separate tefillah. It begins with Ashrei L'chal Hashem Atzdaka, which corresponds to Psukei Dezimra. The Yugam Amidas Harachmim are like a Shmona Esrei. It's followed by Tachnun and Kadosh Tiskabel, which is the way every other tefillah is structured. You have Tachnun and Kadosh Baruch Hu to plead before Kadosh Baruch Hu to accept our Shmona Esrei, and then the Kadosh Tiskabel, Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept all of our tefillahs, Tiskabel, Tzolaisin, and V'usayin. So the Levush over here, Oy Zayin, writes that the Slichos are roughly structured like a tefillah in its own right. So during this period of the year, we have four tefillahs. We have Shachris, Mincha Mariv, Slichus. Slichus is its own tefillah independently. Why do we need a fourth tefillah now? So Moshe Shapiro has a beautiful explanation. It's quoted in the Sefer Afike Mayim, I think it's called. It's this farmer, Moshe Shapiro. So he explains based on a comment of Sfasemis we mentioned last week, that it's because we have three tefillahs on during a regular day, corresponding to the three different time periods we all go through. We have the morning, the afternoon, and the night. Those are three different time periods. We said last week, right? Some people are morning people, some people are night people. No one is an afternoon person. So these are different periods of time that we all go through, phases of the day, and we have to dedicate each phase to a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a different tefillah, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, corresponding to the unique character of that period of time. However, we're now in a unique dimension of time, corresponding to the creation of the world. Right, the world began getting created on Chafei Elul, which roughly corresponds to the time that we begin saying Slichus, and that's Sunday, corresponding to the creation of the world. So the time of the creation of the world, the Yom Ne'irah, when the world is regenerating itself, is a new time period, which warrants a fourth tefillah. Which warrants a fourth tefillah, and that fourth tefillah is Slichus. That's how Moshe Shapiro explains. I suggested last week that perhaps that's why we daven Slichus at the most inconvenient time of the day, which is from Chatzos HaLaila, until the morning. Well, that's the ideal time for saying Slichus. Why is that the ideal time for saying slichos? Because it's a fourth tefillah that has to have its own slot in the day. The problem is all of the other slots have been taken. Shacharis is, you know, from Hanetzach Chama till Chatzos. Mincha is roughly from Chatzos till Shkiyas Chama. Marv is from, you know, Shkiyas or Tzeitzak HaChavim until Chatzos HaLayla. L'chadchili, we're not supposed to have a Marv after Chatzos HaLayla. So if we want to make a fourth tefillah of the day, corresponding to the period of the creation of the world, Yom Ne'eram, is the world is regenerating itself, so that maybe it has to have its own slot, which is from Chatzos HaLayla until the morning. The Magen Avraham said a different reason why Slichus is specifically at Chatzos HaLayla. We discussed last week. The Magen Avraham explains that it's because at Chatzos HaLayla is a time of Rachamim before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As darkness is descending on the world, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is withdrawing his involvement from the world. And therefore it's a time of din, time of judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is withdrawing himself. However, as, you know, once the night hits its darkest point, which is Chatzos HaLayla, it's getting darker, darker, darker till Chatzos HaLayla, that's the darkest point of the night, and then the light starts making its trek back to us. It doesn't begin to peek over the horizon until Hanetzach Chama, but it stops getting darker, 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 and starts at least getting a little bit lighter once you hit Chatzos HaLayla. We don't begin to see the light, but it's not getting darker anymore. The light is making its way back. We hit the peak, you know, over the hump of the night. And since the light is on its way back, that's the moment that is a time of Rachman for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Makas Bechairus upon the Egyptians at Kachatzois HaLayla, the Yaitu B'Seich Mitzrayim. Why did it have to happen exactly at Chatzois? So many Sfarim explain that it's because as it was at that moment that Din and Rachman were mixed. Exactly at Chatzois is his Man Din and is his Man Rachman. Man Din is Man Rachman. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brought Makas Bechairus upon the Egyptians, he would do an act of Rachman for Kal Yisrael, but an act of Din on the Egyptians. And it had to happen exactly at Chatzos, because that's the only time that Din and Rachman, you know, are mixed together. If that's the case, though, that, you know, as it's getting lighter, as the sun is shining brighter, it remains at the time of Rachman. So we said, you could start saying Slichas HaChatzos HaLayla. You could even do it in the morning, because it's still getting lighter, 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 until you get to Chatzos HaYom, and then all of a sudden, no, it's not getting brighter anymore. It starts getting darker. The sun is on its way up. And Chatzos HaYom, that's, you know, already starts to transition to a time of Din. Yitzchok corresponds to Din, obviously. So Mincha is davened already at a time of Din. But as it's getting lighter, it's a time of Rachum, and that's when a person can and should say Slichas. The problem is, we put Slichas in this time period, assuming that it was open. Like a guy walks into shul and he thinks no one sits in that seat. The problem is someone does sit there. There is another tefillah. There is another tefillah at that time of day. What other tefillah exists at that time of day? It's Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Brachos, the tefillos avos tiknum. Each one of the avos established one of the different tefillos. Avraham Avinu established Shacharis, Yitzchak, Mincha, Yaakov, Ma'ariv. However, the Gemara earlier Masechtas Brachos tells us that David HaMelech, every night at Chatzos, used to get up and say, "Shiras v'sishrachos tekadosh baruch." The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Chatzos laila akum lahoydos lacham mishpatei tzekecha." David HaMelech at Chatzos laila used to get up and say Tehillim, or praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech never slept past Chatzos. And the Gemara tells us earlier, "Masechta Brachos," that same daf, but you know the Amud earlier, that in the middle of the night, Chatzos laila, Hakadosh Baruch Hu cries over the fact that we have sinned and therefore brought about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Kadosh Baruch Hu cries, "Oy the banim shavam esei mechravti es beis if esarafti es heicholi." So David HaMelech gets up, Chatzos to David to Kadosh Baruch Hu, seeing Shiras v'Shiras Brachos, Kadosh Baruch Hu cries over Churban Beis HaMikdash and Chatzos HaLayla as well. So based on this, the Rosh writes, a combination of the two, that David HaMelech used to praise Kadosh Baruch Hu Chatzos HaLayla, and we also know Chatzos HaLayla is a time of Din and Rachman mixed together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So Rosh says it's appropriate for a person to get up at Chatzos HaLayla to cry over the Churban Beis HaMikdash and to sing Shiras v'Shiras Brachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the two parts of Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Rachel, which is the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the person is supposed to say prior to Chatzos HaLayla, and then after Chatzos HaLayla to Tikkun Leah, which is Shiras v'Shiras Brachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and praising the Ribbono Shel Olam like the, you know, David HaMelech did. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, first Simon. Anybody who has Yira Shamayim, she amates her v'doyga churban beis hamikdash. A person should always be misabel of churban beis hamikdash. The Mishnah Berurah talks about, quote from the name of the Mekubalim, ha'richum ba'oid b'goyd o'mal eskimas chatzos. They talked at great length, praising this idea of getting up at chatzos to do tikkun chatzos. The Mishnah Berurah explains, "Zman chatzos hutami b'emtzos halayla." When is chatzos? It is at the middle of the night, astronomically speaking. So it shows manios, right? So I don't know what chatzos was last night, 12:50. So Chatzos would be 1250. It's interesting, people who do Tikkun Chatzos know about this, but in Likutei Maran, Rabbi Nachman has a different time for Chatzos. He thinks it's always 6 hours, 60 minutes each, after Tesek HaChavim. So for Rabbi Nachman, let's say Tesek HaChavim was last night, now it's actually pretty close. Tesek HaChavim was around 7 something. So then 6 hours later, literally 6 hours of 60 minutes each, now shows manios. Not that we divide the night in half and that's Chatzos HaLayla, divide the day in half and that's Chatzos HaYom. It's 6 hours after Tzitzik HaChavim. He has his own sheet about what Chatzos is. Whatever it is, Breslovers have their own sheet on Tikkun Chatzos. But not surprising. But either way, the Mishnah Berurah says over here, Zman Chatzos who tell themselves HaLayla Mamesh B'chol Makom, V'afil B'layas HaRuchos HaKitzaras HiYud Beishos Acha Chatzi HaYom. Right? It corresponds to the day and a half. That's 12 hours later is the night and a half. And the person should cry for Korban Beis HaMikdash Koydim Chatzos. And after Chatzos, the person should say Tehillim like David HaMelech used to do. Cry like HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to cry, and, you know, cries in the middle of the night of Korban Beis HaMikdash. We should cry with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then sing Shir Shel Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Tikkun Leah after Chatzos HaLayla. So this is a fourth tefillah that was established in the day by David HaMelech, as writes the Ramchal over here in the Sefer Derech Hashem. Hinei Tira Ki Hashalosh Tefilos Avos Tiknum. The Avos established Shachas Mincha Mariv. We have to follow that pattern, and we have an obligation to have a Shachas Mincha Mariv. But then David HaMelech established. David is Darez Boy. David established a fourth tefillah, a fourth tefillah. That fourth tefillah is Tikkun Chatzos. That fourth tefillah is Tikkun Chatzos. For that reason, the girl over here in his commentary in Chabakuk quotes the name of the Zohar HaKadosh. David HaMelech is the Regel Revi'i Lishchina. He's the fourth leg of the Merkava, the fourth leg of the chair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first three legs were Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Gemara tells us over here, Masechtas Brachos, the chair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has three legs, which is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. A chair with three legs can stand, yeah? The fourth leg, the regular Revi'i Lishchina, is David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the fourth leg of the Kisei. In what way? Because he established Tikkun Chatzos. And it makes sense, by the way, to cry for Korban Beis HaMikdash in the tefillah that was established by David HaMelech. After all, David HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, right? So it's appropriate in the tefillah that David HaMelech established that we should cry over the Korban Beis HaMikdash. And David HaMelech, by doing so, became the Regel Revi'i Lishchina. He became the fourth leg together with the others because he also established his own tefillah. Yeah, the kasha is, though, you know, if that's the case, why don't you have to say Tikkun Chatzos? Why don't you have to say Tikkun Chatzos? Like the other tefillahs, why Shachas Mincha Maariv obligations Tikkun Chatzos not? So it could be because of the following: why is David HaMelech? Why is David HaMelech the Regel Revi'i Lishchina? Because David HaMelech gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu a permanent home in this world. Right? He restored what was initially created by Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon lived in a world Kadam HaChet, the perfect, you know, kind of existence that was restored by David HaMelech. That's what the Ariya HaKadosh writes in Shal Gilgulim, Adam is a Rosh Tevas, Adam, David, Mashiach. Because it was in those three periods that Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence was felt throughout the world. Adam HaRishu Kadim HaChet, David HaMelech, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately what had come about in the times of Mashiach too. But David HaMelech restored, was initially created by Adam HaRishu, a permanent place, you know, a Dir B'tach Tayyidim for Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So in that sense, he created a fourth, you know, a fourth leg for the chair of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And stabilize the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. But Lamaisa is, the chair can stand with three legs, right? If you have a three-leg, I've never seen a three-legged chair, but assume, like a tricycle, you can have a three-legged chair. It's not as stable as a car that has four wheels, but it's, you know, it can stand. So you can have a three-legged chair. We can have a world without a Beis HaMikdash. It's much more stable if there's a fourth one. So the three tefillahs are essential. Without that, you have, you know, that can't stand. A chair with two legs obviously can't stand. So that the first three tefillahs are obligatory. The fourth tefillah helps stabilize the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. We love to have it when we can, but it's not absolutely essential. It's not absolutely necessary. So in that sense, the tefillah of David HaMelech is not an obligation like Shachar Mincha Maariv. It certainly is something that's important. But yet, we overlapped, right? We doubled up. We're double buckling slichus together with Tikkun Chatzos. Why are we stripping Slichas with Tikkun Chatzos? Obviously, Slichas is also connected to the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Why is the time of Slichas, which has to do with the creation of the world, why is that doubled up with Tikkun Chatzos, which has to do with Korban Beis HaMikdash? And by the way, the whole period of the Yomim Noraim seems to come, you know, on the heels of the Bein HaMitzar. What's the connection between the Yomim Noraim and the destruction of the Korban Beis HaMikdash? So, Rabbi, say, hear my questions. Question number one, why do we begin Slichas on the day that the world was created? Adam Arishan, yes, that we were judged on Rosh Hashanah. That was the day Adam Arishan sinned. That was the day he was judged. The day he was forgiven. That's the Yom Adin. Why do we begin Slichas on the day the world was created? What do I care about the Navayer Vayvelke Yom Rishan? What does that have to do with me being judged? Or the time of, you know, Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Ne'eram. Moreover, what does Yom Ne'eram have to do with the Bein HaMetzarim? There's one series of Haftaras to continue on. We mourn Gedai ben Achikam during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, which has to do with the end of the period of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Clearly, they're all connected. And the day of Slichas itself seems to be connected to Churban Beis HaMikdash. We start saying Slichas, or the time period which is ideal for saying Slichas, is Tikkun Chatzos, which is usually assigned for the time that we mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So I think the answer is the following. The answer is the following. It's critical. It's critical. The answer is because anybody who's been through this period of time, year after year after year, begins to feel like they are treading water, like we're spinning our wheels. Many of the averus, many of the shortcomings, many of the problems that we see in our own life as we perform a cheshbon nefesh are the same problems year after year after year. And it becomes, you know, a person begins to think, well, you know, what am I doing here? You know, why do I keep doing this again and again? When we seem to be in the same place. So it could, by the way, be treading water isn't so bad. At least you're not sinking. Right? The mushal of this is the, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but given by the Sifsei Chaim of the boat. The boat is docked at a pier. How does it stay attached to the pier? With a rope. I don't know how to tie the, you know, the knots, the boat to the pier. There's a special way of doing so, but someone ties the boat to the pier with this special rope. The problem is that the seawater erodes the rope. So you're going to have to replace the rope. Okay, so every few months, the captain of the ship has to replace the rope. But then an onlooker might say, dude, you keep replacing the rope again and again and again. You know, why do you keep doing this? It seems like avodas parach. You're doing the same thing again and again. So he explains, because if I don't tie the ship to the pier, the ship is going to float away into the sea and it'll be lost at sea. So a lot of times, the things that we do just to maintain where we are. Treading water is important. If we wouldn't tread water, we would sink, chas v'shalom. So we have to go through this process of cheshbon nefesh, of the Yom Ne'eram, of clapping our chet, because if we wouldn't do that, who knows where we would float off to. So maybe it isn't so bad to tread water. We could reframe treading water, right? It isn't as bad as sinking, which of course is much worse. But I think we have to be a little bit more ambitious, and there is something here that's, you know, a little bit more that is expected of us. And that will explain why it is that Slichas corresponds to the creation of the world. And that is because what we're really expected to do is not just tread water. What we're expected to do is be better. Be better. And to recreate ourselves in a better fashion. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we, you know, tshuva is not limited to this period of the year, right? If a person sins in March or sins in April, sins in May, he should do tshuva for those averus then. What's unique about this period of the year? So the expectation here is a little bit different. The expectation here is not that a person just does an aveira for one, you know, speaking lashon hara, or, you know, one little thing, asking mechila, or this or that, or, you know, some specific shortcoming for which he puts a band-aid on, or which he plugs the hole in the boat. That you could do any time of the year. Tshuva is always appropriate. What's unique about the Yom Ne'eram is that it's a wholesale reassessment of our reality. Maybe our whole reality can be different. Maybe our whole lifestyle should change. Right, Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah Masechet Yuma at the end compares the Yom Ne'eram to a mikvah, kind of based on the pasuk Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Mikvah Yisrael is Hashem. Ma Hashem, you know, Ma Mikvah Mataris Atmei. Ma Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mataris Yisrael. What is Rabbi Kiva adding by this mashal or this comparison of the Yom Ne'eram to a mikvah Hashem? So many explain the commentaries on the Gadata and Yuma explain in the Ein Yaakov that it's because just like a mikvah, you have to enter in with your whole body all at once. You can't do hokey pokey. You can't put one arm in, and then one leg in, and then one leg in. You have to go in all at once. You're doing tefillas kelim. You have to put the kelim in the mikvah all at once. So to the Yom Ne'eram is a time when you have to do tshuva all at once. You can't pick and choose. Well, I'm just going to work on Bein Adam Lamakom this year. I'm just going to work on Bein Adam Lachaveiro this year. It's true. If you know, sometimes tshuva happens in small steps, and practically you might only be able to implement one thing or the other, but the cheshbon nefesh that has to be undertaken is something that's comprehensive. It has to be a person's entire personality. You can't just do, you know, one thing. And in that sense, the tshuva of Yom Ne'eram is different. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, there's a special mitzvah to do tshuva during the period of the Yom Ne'eram, on Yom HaKippurim. Ki b'yom hazeh, yechaper aleichem, utar esem, mikol chatoi seichem, is a special mitzvah of tshuva. What's unique about the Yom Ne'eram? The answer is, throughout the year, you can plug a hole. You can put a band-aid on. You can do tshuva, you know, for one little thing here or there. What the obligation of the Yom Ne'eram is an entirely, you know, to reassess our reality and to try and come to a better reality. Not just to tread water. but to attempt to remake the boat and to have an entire different, you know, an entirely different reality. And in that sense, it corresponds to the creation of the world, because what the expectation is every year is that we recreate our world. And that's why we start saying slichos, which is the beginning of this process, of not only when Adam HaRishon was judged, you know, when he sinned, when he was judged, when he was forgiven, but we go back to the creation of the world, because the expectation is during this period of the year that we recreate our world. We, you know, we enter into a new world, a new reality than the one that we had before. And therefore we focus, or slichos begins, on the first day of creation, the Chafei Elul, because we have to recreate our world. How many, you know, the Mishnah tells himself this others, that the world was created by Asara Mamoros. There were 10 utterances to which the world was created. And that's why there are Asara Yamin, Ben Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Asara Simechua, correspond to those Asara Mamoros. We're recreating our world. And that, you know, also is the Shalosh Shapunai, the Shevet Nechemta, that goes all the way back to the time of the Bein HaMetzarim. We're recreating the world. But how does this go all the way back to the time of the Bein HaMetzarim? Why do we go back to there? Why does it start there? We understand now, okay, we begin at the time of the creation of the world, that's when we start saying slichos. Because the expectation now is not just to plug a hole, not just to put a band-aid, to recreate our whole world by reassessing our whole reality, our whole way of thinking, our whole lifestyle. We create our whole, you know, reality like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Why do we go back to the Bein HaMetzarim? What does that have to do with anything? What is the Shalosh Shapanais to the Shevet Nechemta, which also is 10, corresponding to the Asara Mamoros Shebehem Nivraon? Why does it go back to there? So I think the answer is the following. It's a deep idea. And that is because you can't have this attitude all the time. See, in order to function in life, we have to develop a satisfaction with the status quo. In order to cope, right? In order to cope, coping skills. In order to cope with a person's reality, he has to be able to accept it. Right? That's the first stage of coping, is accepting. So in order for a person to live in a lifestyle, you know, to carry on, we have to accept our reality. You can't constantly, no business is successful if they're constantly second-guessing themselves and reassessing their strategy. You can, from time to time, have an audit, from time to time, have a checkup, but you can't do that constantly. You have to accept, this is the way we're going to do things, this is our strategy, and go for it. And then accept the reality, the bumps along the way. So, in a certain sense, we have to be satisfied with the status quo throughout the year, because otherwise we won't be able to function. That's why the Rambam writes that the Shofar is a wake-up call. Ur yishen v'shenatzchem v'kitzu ne'edam v'tar de'masem. Shofar is the Xeris HaKadosh, says the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah, but it has a Remez Yeshboi. It's coming to awaken us up out of our slumber. Who's sleeping? I'm not sleeping. You're not sleeping. We always want to be the best Oivdei Hashem we can be. What does it mean? Who's sleeping? Who's it referring to? It's referring to the guy who's happy with the status quo, and you have to be happy with the status quo. We're all sleeping. Because we're sleeping in the sense that we're not reassessing constantly our reality and our trajectory. Because we can't be. You can't cope. You can't exist that way. Can't exist that way. And in order to do that, what you have to do is first destroy what's there, you know, to create a vacuum and a void, and then we can perhaps rebuild the future in its place. But you have to disrupt that serenity. Because otherwise, you can't rebuild a new reality. So it's true, we develop an external shell which is happy with our status quo. In order to create a new status quo, we have to first have a disruption. We have to first disrupt what existed previously. And therefore, the period of the Yom Ne'eran begins with the Bein HaMetzarim, because it's that destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that enables us, that destruction of our world, that enables us to create a new world in its place, a new world order. And that's why the Shalosh, the Purnais, the Shevet Nechemta, precede the Yom Ne'eran, because what we're doing is destroying our old reality in order to create a new reality. You cannot create a new reality until you first destroy the old reality. This is Yesod that the Maharal has in the Netzach Yisrael. Because the Gemara comments in Masechtas Makkos, we all know the story, that the different Tanoim, right, saw a fox coming out of the Makom HaMikdash, and they all started crying. Rabbi Kiva saw the fox coming out of the Makom HaMikdash, and he started laughing. So the other Tanoim asked Rabbi Kiva, why are you laughing? So he said, because if this Nevuah has been fulfilled, the Tzion saw the Techrash, that the Beis HaMikdash has been plowed over, he was confident that the other Nevuah of Zechariah be fulfilled, of Oid Yeshu Zekeinu Zekeinu, is Berchav Yerushalayim, that the elderly men and women will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, meaning that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And they said, Akiva Nichantano, Akiva Nichantano, right? We know that Gemara. So what was Rabbi Akiva being Mechadish to them? They didn't believe. They didn't believe Oid Yeshu Zekeinu Zekeinu, Berchav Yerushalayim. They didn't believe that, you know, in that Nevuah. Of course they believed in that Nevuah. So what did Rabbi Akiva teach them? So explains by Rav the Netzach Yisrael, what Rabbi Akiva taught them was that it's from this void, from this vacuum of the foxes running in the Makom HaMikdash, that creates the ability to have a new, better reality come in its place. To have a It's not just one nevuah and another nevuah. It's exactly the void in the vacuum that creates a new reality. Says the Maharal over here. Ki aheder sibas ha'havaya. You can't have a new thing, a new existence, without first having something that's destroyed in its place. And that's why the world, right, was preceded by tohu vavohu. The Arizal says tohu vavohu v'chayshach apnei sohem. First, there was darkness. There was absence. There was withdrawal. There was confusion. Only on that foundation of confusion, yeah, can you create a new reality. If there's no void, there's no vacuum, why change? Why change? If everything's going fine, if my status quo is great, I'm hunky-dory, why would I create a new reality come Yom Ne'erim? So you have to first have a Churban Beis HaMikdash. There has to first be a withdrawal. There has to first be a void and a vacuum, and then we can create a new reality in its place. But that you need that foundation, you need that setting in order to create that. For that reason as well, Mashal Ma'adav Adoyimah is an egg, right? You want to make an omelet with the egg. You can't make an omelet with the egg unless you first crack the egg. So every time you create something, there has to be a destruction that, there has to be a vacuum that precedes this. It's certainly true in our Avodas Hashem. It's certainly true in our religious lives as well. Rabbeinu Tam writes in Sefer Yosher that religious life is not even-keeled. Doesn't all always go exactly, you know, we're not always on the same madrega. There's aliyas and yuridas. It's a constant series of ups and downs, religious life. Sometimes we feel connected, sometimes we feel more distant. That's what the Rav Tzadik writes, that's what Yaakov Avinu saw in his dream. When he arrived in Makom HaMikdash, he saw Malachei Elohim, Oilim V'Yordim Bo'i. Malachim going up and down, up and down. What does that represent? That represents the religious life. Religious life is full of ups and downs, ups and downs. There's no status, there's no, like, you know, just going, you know, cruise control. Doesn't exist. Religious life is a series of ups and downs. That's why a person is awake. Some day, times of the day he's awake, sometimes of the day he's asleep. Right? It's the Ari HaKadosh and his Likutei Torah Parshas Vayeshev. That corresponds to times we feel connected when we're awake. Times when we're sleeping is times when we're more distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the secret of all this is, right? It's the Ari HaKadosh, Parshas Vayeshev, Likutei Torah, is that when a person wakes up, he's more energized after having slept. You feel stronger. You feel better. You can do more. After you slept, you had a good sleep. Now I can do more. So what emerges is, from that yurida, from that distance with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, from that void, from that vacuum, you emerge with greater connection than you had before. And that's what Yaakov Avinu didn't realize. Yaakov Avinu wakes up after his dream, where he dreams about the Suum Mutzavayis, Vesh Magir Shemai, Ma'ochei Yokim, Oyem V'yardim Bo, the Malachim going up and down. He says, Achein Yesh Hashem B'mokum HaZevan, Achi Lo Yadati. Kadosh Baruch Hu was here too, and I didn't realize. Why Rashi explains? Because all the time he was in Yeshiva Shei Behavior, he didn't sleep. And now he slept. What? So what did he realize? What he realized was, while he was in Yeshiva Shei Behavior, he had no Yerida. He was constantly going up and up and up. And he thought that's the best way to grow in Avodas Hashem. But then he saw from sleeping, from that Yerida that he had, from that distance, he emerged now with greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a Gilui Shechina. So he says, Achein Yesh Hashem B'mokum HaZeh, in Shein itself, in distance itself, a person could come to greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Tzadik bases this on a Gemara in Masech the Shabbos, a strange Gemara. The Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos that once Rav Zeir was with Rav Yehuda, I think, and he saw that he was in a good mood. He could ask him anything that he wanted. So he asked him, and he would answer him. He could ask him anything he wanted, the secrets of the whole universe, and he would have answered him. So what did he ask him? He asked him, why is it that the black goats walk before the white sheep when you're moving a herd from place to place? Why is it the black goats before the white sheep? So he responded to him, because that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It was Vayhi Era Vayivoyker. First it was darkness, then there was light. Bereisha Chashecha V'Hodeh Nehoira. First there's darkness, then there's light. First there's darkness, then there's light. What was he asking him? This is his kasha. This is your kasha in the whole world. You have your question to ask the greatest tzaddik, Talmud Chacham, in the whole world about the deepest secrets of creation and our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you ask, why did the black goat go before the white sheep? So Tzadik explains what he was asking him is, why is it that you have to first have distance with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in order to feel more connected? Why does it have to first be darkness, have to first be distance, and then connectivity? And he responded to him, I don't know, but that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world by He Erev, first darkness, first distance, first Tohu Bavohu, and then light. Bereisha Chashecha, first darkness, and then light. But as a result of that darkness, a person could actually come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in order for us to recreate our world, which is the expectation during the Yom Ne'erim, which is why it corresponds to the creation of the world, we are all supposed to not just fix the problems here or there. in our life, problem solving, we have to take a wholesale assessment of our lives, a comprehensive assessment, begin, you know, to recreate our lives. We first have to destroy the old life. You first have to destroy what was there in order to put on, in order to put on something new. The famous mashal by the Bali Musa say of a guy who's buying a suit. So he hears that there's this amazing suit maker, who doesn't have to measure you in order to get your measurements. Today people are into custom suits, so he doesn't have to measure you in order to get your measurements. He can just look at you, shots you up right away, and tell you what your measurements are. So a guy walks into the suit store, he says he wants to see this in action. He's going to buy a suit, a custom suit. So he walks in, it's a heavy set man. So he walks in, guy looks at him, he says, fine, go in the back, I'll make you a suit. Guy goes in the back, guy puts together the suit, whatever. Or maybe comes back a few days later, he goes into the back to put on the suit. And the guy starts screaming. Ah! He said, what are you making fun of me? The suit's too tight. Looks terrible. So the guy comes out all angry at the tailor. So the guy says, what are you angry about? He said, I made a suit that fits you perfectly. So the guy said, no, look. He comes out of the changing room. He shows him it's too tight. He said, oh, tippish. He said, you have to first take off your old suit in order to put on the new suit. You can't put on the new suit unless you first take off your clothes. So you can't put on something new unless you first destroy what's there. Because it's that vacuum itself that enables us ultimately to create a new reality in its place. But it begins with the period of the Bein HaMetzarim when we first have to destroy what was there in order to create something new. That's the expectation. There's a famous medrash over here, Oisit Ches, which tells us, comes in the Pasuk, Vayaro Kimas Kol Asher Asav, and he told me, Kodesh Baruch Hu saw all that he had created, and he was very happy with that which he had created. So the Medrash comments, Mikan, it sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu created other things which he wasn't happy with. Mikan Shekodesh Baruch Hu Ayabayar Elamas Umachriv, and Kodesh Baruch Hu created other realities before this one, and he destroyed them. He wasn't happy with them until he created this world with which he was happy. How could it be a Kodesh Baruch Hu who is perfect, B'tachlis HaPerfection, a Kodesh Baruch Hu who is Shalem, there's nothing that's beyond the ability of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why couldn't he create a perfect world the first time? Why do you have to have this trial and error? So Soloveitchik explains, others suggest along the same lines, it's in order to teach us that it's okay to make mistakes, you can just start over. Kodesh Baruch Hu is modeling that behavior. If you ask Kodesh Baruch Hu made mistakes and he started over, so that we can make mistakes and we can start over. Okay, nice idea. However, the Ishbitzer, the grandson of the Ishbitzer, in the Sefer Tiferes Yosef, takes this and throws it on its head. Listen to this. It's an unbelievable idea. He takes the Medrash and he turns it around. He said, no. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create inferior worlds, one after the other, and then wasn't happy with them, and then created the perfect world, which is our world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created better worlds than we have now. Better worlds than we have now. He showed them to us, took them away, and then he gave us an inferior world. Why would Kodesh Baruch Hu do that? So explains the Ishbitzer, Kodesh Baruch Hu did that in order to show us there is a better reality than the one we're living in. There is a better world that we can have. We can perfect ourselves even more. And Kodesh Baruch Hu, in order to give us, you know, something to shoot for, gave us worlds that were holier, that were better, that were more perfect than the world we live in now, in order so that every year we could recreate our world in the hopes of creating a better one. How do we even know what better looks like? Aren't we living in the perfect reality now? No, we can create, we destroy this, and look at that world. Look at that world that we can recreate, and we can strive for that. Rav Tzadik has this idea in a few places, in the Pritzadik, in the name of the Reikeach, that Ein Chayzik K'Chayzik HaChasidus B'Tchilosa, Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes gives us a flash of inspiration when you start something new. When Kol Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu showed them, even though they were not at that Madrega, they were on the Mem Tesh Shari Tumah when they left Mitzrayim, he showed them a Kriyas Yamsuf Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, a Gilo Yishchina like had never been seen before. Right? The Shivcha Ra, Shivcha Yam, things that Yechezkel HaNavi never saw. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu start off their travels in the Midbar with such a great Gilo Yishchina? They weren't royal enough. They weren't deserving of it. So explain to Tzadik, because at the beginning of a path, sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a flash of brilliance, of something, wow, look at that. And your whole life, you're struggling to recreate that because that serves as the motivation in order to get there. So too, Kodesh Baruch Hu created more perfect worlds than this one in order to show us that, yes, we should destroy this world and attempt to emulate one of those better models of the world, which is what we're hopefully shooting for during this period of the year, is to try and get a better creation, you know, recreate our world, destroy the previous world, and recreate our world in a better fashion. And that's what Slichus is all about. That's when that process of, of recreating our world begins. We destroy the previous world, that was a Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the hopes now is of recreating our world in a new way. It's hard, though. We're all maxed out. What are we going to do? With more Seder, we don't have time, we have homework. We're already trying not to speak Lashon, we're already trying to have Kavanah during Tefillah. So what are we supposed to do more? I find it a hard thing It's a hard thing to do. So I'll tell you, I saw something. Close with this. I saw something amazing. Amazing. There's a journal that the Pizetsna kept, the Eish Kodesh kept, that was found together with his other writings after the war, you know, in a milk can in the Warsaw Ghetto. I'm sure you heard the story. The Eish Kodesh, who was the Rav of the Warsaw Ghetto throughout the war, ultimately he was killed towards the end of the war, but he was a Rav. Pizetsna, which was a neighboring city to Warsaw before the war, he had a yeshiva there, in Sefer Chumash, Derech HaMelech, he had a whole yeshiva, you know, there, called Das Moshe or something. So he kept a diary. I don't think he intended for this diary. He published, but he kept a diary, which we now have, of his religious struggles, if you want to call it that. So he writes the following. Listen to this. It's unbelievable. Oh, you see a test. You cook it up in a sefer called Savaziros. So he says, "Uma akabo alaylu moed yoser." So what am I supposed to do? I have no more time in my schedule. I think a lot of people feel that way. There's no more time. Kim dumani. I don't know if that's ever true by everyone. Some people do have more time. So if you have more time, you're wasting your time, you know, doing other things that people do on Sundays from September to February. Yeah, then you have more time. Yeah, you have more time. But some people don't have more time. Everyone needs to relax, but that... What else am I going to do? He says, I don't waste time. How many of us can say that? But he says, I don't waste time. He says, L'srachak min ha-taivis, to move further away from the Yitzhara. He says, unless my Yetzirah is fooling me, Baruch Hashem, eneni meshubah kol kach l'taiva. I don't have that many desires. L'taiva gufanis. I have no physical desires. That's my drink. Okay. But he's writing this to himself. He's not trying to impress us. So he says, I don't waste time. I really don't have any physical desires. Ma chaseli. So what am I missing? So what I'm missing is, Poshut liyos Yehudi. To be a Jew. To sense the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life. To be more... No, cognizant of the Ribbono Shel Olam Chasili, that I'm missing. This is the Pizetsna Rebbe. He was writing this at the age of 40. Taivas, done. Schedule, complete. We're good. What is he missing? To feel Jewish. So he says, Doimani Beina. He appeared to himself like a caricature. Ketsuros, other Mitsuyaros. I'm like a caricature of a Chasid. Hakoba, Hagavanim. I have all the different shades of colors, you know, in full color, technicolor. Hatsura, the whole shape is all there. Rak achas chaseira. One thing is missing. What's missing? Haneshama chaseira. The neshama is missing. To feel like a Jew. To feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, we all have to recreate our lives during this time of the year. It doesn't necessarily mean changing our entire schedule. It doesn't necessarily mean changing the way that we, you know, we do things. Although some people, I'm sure, do have things we need to complain. You know, do we need to fix our parts of our schedule, gaps in our schedule, maybe we can't fill. But I think this everyone can undertake. And this is chasa by everyone, no matter what madrega person is on. That we should tie ourselves in to try and feel Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our life on a more regular basis. And if we do that together collectively, may we be zeichah to rebuild our lives in a way that has a Beis HaMikdash together in it. B'mehar v'yameinu amen. All right, Kavashkanu.